two fantastic singers joining me who are not only incredible singers in their own right, you are now a duo singing sensation. You're also married. Rodney Adkins, you've had like, what, 6 number ones on your own? Like, crushing it. If you're going through hell, keep on going. That got me through my life. I mean, that was like a theme song and still is, especially I think a lot of us could lean on that with these past few years that we've had with COVID. You guys are also parents of 2 young boys. So y'all are like doing the thing together. Just decided to, y'all put out a duo, like your first project as a duo. Tell me about this, you guys, because not only are you married, but working together and singing together and raising kids together. I mean, y'all are just like all up in each other's grill.
Yeah, we're weird. I think we like each other a little bit more than a lot of couples. Just seeing COVID, like people were like, oh my gosh, we have to be together like all the time. If, you know, we're going nuts, and we're kind of like used to that. This is kind of the way we wanted it to be when we first got married.
We are weird. We don't mind being in small places, like tour buses and hotel rooms. We kind of like it. We're strange that way.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people think that being a artist is like this super glamorous, luxurious, plush life all the time. But really, when you break it down, you are a tour bus. Everyone thinks is like this magic time machine. And like when you get on it, it's like fantastic, which it is. But it is close quarters. You are living in close quarters with bandmates, with tour managers, with all sorts of people, sharing like space, smells, all the things. And so when you live in you really, I think it prepares you for, like you said, y'all can be in close quarters all the time together because it's kind of what you know, right?
Yeah, like first thing we did after we got married was basically our honeymoon was, I was still on Show Dog. I had a record deal, and so Rod let me open for him, and so that was like our honeymoon. It was like a tour together with Frankie Ballard.
Oh yeah.
And so that was kind of how we started it out. And I mean, I couldn't have been happier. It was really fun. It was awesome. And then of course, now with the kids, it's a kind of a different thing being on the bus. And that's a little bit more difficult.
But they love it. And if it's, we figure, well, if it's all they know, then it just is what it is. Cause they like going out on the road. It's like camping.
Yeah. Glamping. So basically, Frankie Ballard was basically on y'all's honeymoon with you guys. How was he as the third member of your marriage for that little
He's
he
a sweetheart.
Super sweet. Yeah, he's a great guy. I think it was before he was married.
And now they have a little baby, Pepper. How cute is that?
Amazing. I think your baby was born right. When was Sunny born?
He was born 2 years ago, September 10th. So right around the same time Pepper was. How old are y'all's boys?
Well, Scout was born August 26th, I think right around the same time Sunny was born. And then Ryder is 4, so.
Oh, you. So I don't know about y'all. So you have, I mean, obviously Ryder's 4, so he's older, but y'all have a COVID baby as well. So tell me about how it was having all the kids, raising kids during COVID, making this project, I'm assuming, during COVID. Is that what spawned it? Was y'all were just like, let's do this project that we've always wanted to do because we have time? Or what was happening for you guys these last couple of years? A lot.
Yeah. So the way that this project came about was during COVID, there was something called Unite. It was, how would you describe that?
It's kind of a worldwide event for people from all different walks of life. Basically 10 minutes. And Oprah was involved in it. For 10 minutes, you do what you do to kind of, they said, to give the world a hug.
Yeah, just like inspiration.
If you're a magician, you do a trick. Comedian, you tell a joke. Singers, you sing a song. And it went on for, was it 24 hours, I think?
Yeah, it was like a live stream, basically. And we did a song that we recorded together for Rodney's record, his last album. And it's called Figure Out You. And we recorded it, and Scout was supposed to be taking a nap, but he just refused to. And so Scout ended up being in the video, and it ended up going kind of viral. And so then we were asked to make this EP together, which we've been recording music together anyways, but I mean, we didn't want to like force it on anybody unless, you know, until there was a demand for it, we didn't really want to do it. We just sang together like we always do. And just
I had a call from Mike Kerr shortly after, the guy that owns the label that I'm on. And he kind of suggested, you guys should do a project together. Oh, that's a great idea, Mike. And so, yeah, we just dug in. And being home, I've always recorded myself at home. I've always worked that way forever. And really, I know COVID was bad. I'm going to say that. It was horrible for a lot of people. Fortunately for us, it was a godsend for us to be home. I wouldn't have traded that time. Even though we weren't on the road making money, we were home. For every little milestone that Scout and Ryder were going through, I wouldn't have traded that for any, just now, for anything. That every little thing I got to be a part of it, because I hadn't been off the road in over a decade, you know. And so to get to be home during that time and make music with my sweetheart and watch those boys grow was perfect. It was. We loved it.
Yeah. Okay.
That is so true. I feel like for musicians, a lot, like fathers and mothers who are musicians, you miss so much when you're on the road. And it's a catch 22, because obviously this is your gift, this is your talent, and getting to do it for your job is amazing, but it is a huge sacrifice. And you probably don't even realize what a sacrifice it is until you get to see the other side when you're there, experiencing the moments.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I listened to you talking to Jake Owen's wife or fiance recently, and she kind of said the same thing, and I'm like, we all just kind of felt like such a blessing to be able to be together and be home and see that family.
When in early 2020, so I was on the road January, February, and somewhere in that, I mean, I was like time zone hopping, West Coast, East Coast, playing high altitudes. And somewhere in there, I was getting ready to do a show. I like took a shower, was going to do a meet and greet for a show, and I'm sweating my brains out. I'm like dizzy. I'm going, I think it was in Utah or something. I'm going, is this altitude? What's happened? And then that's when all the info about COVID started happening. Shows started dropping off, and I went, you know, I'm pretty sure I had COVID. Yeah. There was a point her dad looked at me and said, are you okay? Because I didn't stop, but I was a wreck. I was sweating, freezing, everything. And then it all kind of made sense. It was horrible. I know.
What is that like, transitioning off the road to being full-time home? Like, is there a big adjustment for you guys as a couple, or was it easy?
I don't feel like, I mean, besides being like, okay, we got to make sure we can pay our bills and all that, like, I mean, if this goes on forever, it's not gonna work for us. Like, we are so, like, we kind of just love being with our family, love being with each other. It wasn't like a huge change for me, at least.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
you guys are amazing.
I always tell people we're like strangely normal. People always think, you know, artists are like, so we're eccentric, but we're not bougie, or, you know, we're pretty darn normal.
We're top. We don't like stuff. I can say all kinds of cheesy stuff.
Let's hear. Tell me about y'all's love story. How did y'all meet, and how did you know it was true love? Because y'all have a really beautiful relationship.
Thanks.
Well, we were on a tour together. I just gone through a really, can I say that?
Yeah. You can say it.
Yeah, really, yeah. really shitty, ugly divorce. And so odds, like, I'm not going back into this. I'm not looking for that. And then we were on a tour together called the Throwdown Tour. And we kind of talked a couple of times going in different directions during the tour, but we never really got to talk till the very last night of the tour. And, man, I was down. It was really quick. And then she had to go, their bus had to go. I had to go sign a bunch of tour stuff, posters and things. And I came back to the bus. She was gone, but she had signed a Joyce Meyer book. And I had said to her, you know, if you want to get together, write or something sometime, man, I would love that. But she left her a note and her phone number. And so I immediately called her. And as our bus rolled to hold for hours that night, I was either texting or calling her, and I kept losing her call. But from that night when we finally talked, we were together ever since. And even after that, I had to come home and go to Norway, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole time in Norway, which is beautiful there, I was looking for Wi-Fi in order to call and stay in touch. But we were together from that moment on. I mean,
yeah.
I'd always heard, you know, when you know, you know. I'm thinking that's a bunch of bullshit, but man, it's real.
So
it's rare, but it's real.
What was it about Rose that just knocked your socks off?
Just her smile, just her aura, her everything about her. She just makes you feel worthwhile.
Oh, man.
That my whole life.
She makes you feel worthwhile. Now, isn't that a goal to strive for just in life? Rose, that's amazing. What a compliment.
What can I say? I do what I can.
I don't always live up to it, but I know because I decided to believe her that she loved me, and so I was going to love me. I just believed her.
You believed that she loved you.
Yep, and that I was worthy of that. And I said I don't live up to it a lot, but I know I'm capable of it because she loves me.
Had you struggled feeling lovable before?
Oh, absolutely. When you're adopted, I was adopted when I was a kid. You struggle with, you know, not being wanted big time, oh, even though you're adopted. Even though you're adopted. We wrote a song together called My Life that was that. It was that story about how I saw myself, but how I love my life because she's in it.
How old were you when you were adopted? Were you a baby?
Yeah, I was little.
So that is, did you ever meet your birth parents or was that a part of your story?
Absolutely, yeah. I met my mom, my birth mom, and she's incredible. Have a great relationship. She's a sweetheart. Didn't meet my dad birthday because I kind of got his story and found out that I have a brother that is serving life for murder. And you start thinking about, man, I could have been that. But I didn't meet my birth dad, my birth mom, and a brother, and it's all that's really great.
Another brother.
That's my maternal brother. Yeah, and he's great. He's fine.
Was music your savior, Rodney? Was that where you poured your feelings and your feelings of like? Of looking for that worthiness? Is that what led you to music?
Oh, absolutely. It makes you feel like, you know, when you connect with people, that it absolutely kind of, there's nothing, it's magical, man. When you're singing a song and somebody's relating to it, and they say, that's my song, or that's me, that's the magic of music. It is there. Believe that.
How important for both of you guys is it to be raw and vulnerable and honest in your music?
Oh my gosh. Like for me, that's number one. It's always been because my goal in, I've considered myself a songwriter first before being a singer. I kind of just sing because I write. And so I made a decision early on that my whole purpose was to say something in a way that somebody could be like, okay, I feel that, I'm not alone. To let someone know that whatever they're feeling, they're not alone in that. So yeah, that's number one for me.
Absolutely, I agree. And I think before Rose, I kind of hid behind, I sang love songs, but I realized I wasn't singing typical love songs, one-on-one. I was singing, these are my people love songs.
Yeah.
Leaning This Gun's a love song. It's America's a love song, but not one-on-one, really. I didn't do that until I met her.
Really? So you're more just singing to like a group of people, like your tribe.
About we, not I, we.
Interesting. And that was because you didn't feel connected to that. Rose has like transformed your life. This is amazing. This is, or is it's like,
I'm a lot of credit here.
If you go back, the only pretty much love songs were about kind of fighting and breaking up.
She'd rather fight than you know what. She has a song called that.
She'd rather fight than you know what.
She'd rather fight than you know what. It's not about me.
Yeah, that was before I was your mom. But it's funny.
It is funny.
I forgot about that.
So. I used to go over to Curb Records all the time. Kelly Lynn, who does A&R at Curb, A&R Curb forever, I think she was involved with a lot of your albums, because I remember her playing me Cleaning This Gun, and she was like, oh my God, this is like the greatest song ever. The process of making it, because Rose, you had a record deal when you were 15 years old.
Yeah.
And the process of getting involved in the music industry and getting a song up the charts, signing a record deal. Everyone's like, oh, signing the record deal is the holy grail. But really, it's just the beginning. Actually having success, getting on a tour, having 6 number one singles, that's like almost impossible. Talk to me from both of y'all's perspective about this grind of the music industry and what it taught you, because I feel like a lot of people have an idea that, like I said, it's just this amazing thing and it's so great, but it is so soul crushing as well. And it is so exhausting and hard and amazing. What is it like to actually be in the system of the major labels and touring and having singles and having success and then, you know, just the ups and the downs? What is that like as a firsthand perspective?
Oh my goodness.
I know, that's a big question.
Your first answer.
I mean, you have a better answer than me because you seem like that.
Yeah, you've been in those. I mean, you've been in the grind your whole life too.
And I have had some success as a songwriter, and I mean, I've always made a living as an artist, so I feel, first of all, like, I can't explain how absolutely blessed we are. We really are. Like, it's amazing to get to do what you love to do and make a living at it. Like, that's all I can really ask for. It's definitely just been, my first record deal was great. It was on Columbia. Very young, but I was still learning things, and I had no bad feelings about it. My second one was horrible.
Wow.
Like all the stereotypes of the things that like hear people talk about, and that was kind of like crushing. And after that, I was like, you know what? I think I'm just gonna write. Like, I really just want to write. I don't want to perform. And so I owe a lot to Rodden for just pushing me to keep going and to try it again. And then here I am. And so I feel really fortunate.
So with that second label deal, and I feel like you said it was horrible, I feel like a lot of times you get stuck into this machine where people try to make you into something else. And they like, why they signed you originally is they want you for one thing, and then they want to change you into something else. And then there's all these strong opinions telling you have to be something, look a certain way, do a certain thing. Did you run into that?
The most like discouraging thing that I ran into was music was transitioning from like just being about music to all of a sudden being a lot about social media. And everybody was kind of new to it, but they were really excited about it. So instead of like focusing on what I felt was this great music that I just poured myself into, it became about looking a certain way or, you know, the right picture, the right post on social media. And that was not something I was really comfortable with at all.
Yeah. Social media, I still am not comfortable with social media. Like, I struggle with social media still to this day. I know that now it's just a part of our life and it's a tool that can be used very effectively, but it's also overwhelming to keep up with it and to feel like you have to stay on this constant hamster wheel. Because as an artist, you're always on already, but then add social media and it's like you have to just constantly be putting out content and sharing all of your life, and it's just, it gets overwhelming.
Absolutely.
A normal dude does not think about taking selfies all the time. I don't think people care that much about what I'm doing, the money and stuff. The people that we work with says, yes, they do. You need to put that out there. But my ego won't let me kind of live up there. Just every little thing I do, I'm taking my phone out.
I feel you. Although, honey, I would love to see you eating a hamburger. I mean, just, I want to see you taking a bite of it, you know? I want to see you just eating away, and I want to see you putting on your tennis shoes, and I want to...
I take all the pictures of him and make sure people can see him doing those things.
It is important, and it is a tool. It's a lot. It's a lot of... I don't know. It's so... not real too. If it was just that real, I don't know, it's tough. She's great at getting me to do stuff like that. But you're right, it's like my first, so when I first got signed to Curb, I was put with stylists and all that kind of stuff, and my first album's called Honesty, and there's pictures of me with leather britches.
Britches.
Gooed up hair, standing in the bottom of a swimming pool or something crazy. And that sold like maybe 10, 15 copies of that album. And when I started working, before I did the Going Through Hell album, started working with a different manager guy named Greg Hewitt. First thing Greg asked me when we started working, he pulled that album out and he said, "You ever wear this stuff anywhere?" And I said, "No." He said, "Because all I've ever seen wearing is like jeans, cargo shorts, or ball cap." Yeah. He said, "Well, nobody's done the ball cap thing, but we need to take a picture of you like that and make sure the music matches that guy."
Yeah.
And you can completely believe those two things. And that's kind of, I remember the first time I was on the red carpet with ball cap, the only one people were like looking at me. I was, you know, out of place, fish out of water. Trying not to fit in. I've kind of worked hard at not fitting in every single time I've done a record. I think it requires that. So you do feel like you're kind of being forced into it, like you're saying, to fit in, but it's never worked.
Well, and it's difficult because you feel all these voices are telling you, these powerful voices are telling you how you need to be successful and what it's going to take to be successful. I feel like the true success comes with what you're saying when you finally just sink into this is me and I'm just going to be me. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to look how I want to look. And sometimes that's like the hardest thing to do is just commit to yourself.
That's true. That's and part of social media is everybody trying to fit in and follow trend after trend after trend after trend. And it's tough to find something really, really fresh and original. It's out there and it's a means for a lot of people to get heard, that's what's cool about it. But yeah, you can get lost in the shuffle that way for sure.
So what did it feel like, Rodney, when you dropped your leather breeches and you put on your ball cap, and now you're recording songs that are connecting with you? What was your hit that was just like, because you went to the solar system. I mean, you just like exploded. What does that feel like when that happens to you? Because everyone has this dream to be an artist and have all the success, but very few people actually have it happen. You had it happen. What does that feel like when you are in that vortex?
Obviously it's really cool. It's fast. Things are coming at you fast. And I'm grateful that they were songs. Like if you're going through hell, they're watching you, then these are my people, cleaning this gun. But there's songs that were, like we're saying, inclusive. They were real songs that are still relevant today. And I'm so grateful. I think a lot of times new acts now, if you're even, especially for like the TikTok artists and things like that, to build a career, to build a live show, you need to be able to put back to back to back to back hits. And there's only like 3% of country artists that even get to put back to back to back. And it takes 65 weeks for a song to go up a chart. And so it's just hard to build a live show. And it's just amazing when you get to go out and you see people singing the words to the songs. And now the cool thing, like Rose and I can record something and then, you know, put it out there. And what the next weekend people are singing the words. But that's the good side of the whole, you know, internet and music and social media and things. People know the songs. But, yeah, putting some hits together is mm-hmm. awesome. I've never taken it for granted, but hey, it's incredible. And still today, people are screaming those songs. It's a blast.
That is the cool thing about today now, is I feel like you don't have to necessarily put together a whole album. Like it used to be like you had to like get a record deal, put together an album, and then release it. But now it's like you can make like two songs like you guys just did, Rod and Rose, and you put together two songs and you can release them kind of when you want to release them. You don't necessarily have to wait, right?
Yeah, so we've got the two songs out. We're about to put out some Christmas music, which we're psyched about. And then the Holy Feet will come out in January.
That's the crazy thing, like, so we were asked in, was it May?
I don't know.
April or May, you know, we would love for you guys to do some couple Christmas songs. And so, basically, in a 2-month period, we wrote, recorded, video, everything for it to come out actually this Christmas.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is amazing. That is one amazing thing about technology and the way things work right now.
So, y'all, single, being here, being there is so sweet and so powerful. You guys said you wrote that because y'all went through a really, like, a hard year.
Yeah.
What triggered that song? Like, what made you sink into that song and be like, we are here through thick and thin? Where did that song come from?
Just being honest, you know. I think we walked in and we were all talking about how weird the world was. The world had gotten. I said, yeah, if today was a fish, I'd throw it back.
If today was a fish, I'd throw it back.
We just started going, trying to write a song that made you smile, but had a little grit to it. And then she had the line, bet your ass I got your back. And that's the jam. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, during COVID, like I said, we love being together, but you also are like, what is happening? What's going on with the world? And so many strange things are happening with that. Not just COVID, but
with everything.
People fighting and rioting. And it's kind of just, you can't help but like look at the world and you're like,
We knew there's a lot of people like us that just kind of wanted to get away, get off the grid, let the world go crazy. We're going to be here loving each other, taking care of the kids, and, you know, just being, you don't want to get jaded. You know, we just tried to stay connected to God and each other and let the world, you know.
I feel you on that. I feel like more than ever, you just kind of want to get into your own little world, because it is so overwhelming. The world is so overwhelming. And I, like we all felt last year or the past couple of years, sometimes it's like too much to handle, you know, like just looking around and seeing everything that's happening. It's too much for like one person to take in. And then you feel guilty because all of these things are happening and you feel like you need to get involved and help. But then I was finding myself losing joy because I was so sad for the world that I wasn't even able to have joy in my own life for things that were bringing me joy, like my family and daughter. And because it was so sad, and you kind of have to make the intention to live in joy and help where you can. But like, you have to find joy in your own life in the midst of the chaos.
That ended up that people kept asking, like, what are these songs about? And it seemed like each song was about the exact same thing. So I was like, oh my gosh, how do I say, like, this is about the same thing as that other song? But they're all about unconditional love and about sticking with somebody when things are just really hard. And like I said, I think we all have just been through a really hard time.
How important is y'all's faith?
Sorry?
How important is y'all's faith?
Faith. Sorry, I thought you said faith. Extremely important. One thing, since we're talking about all this social media stuff that I heard one of my friends say on social media recently, was that we're all looking for our identity, like who we are, who are you? And that's not as important as, or even important at all, as who you are in Christ. And that's kind of what I'm looking for right now. I'm trying to
focus. Is God a center point of your marriage and your relationship with your children?
Absolutely. It carries us. It's how, why we don't really worry, because that's, we know we have that. That's, you said the other day, talking about the Christmas song, we wanted to write a song that was simple enough for our kids to get and sing with us, but also make sure it's about the most important thing in our lives, and it is Christ.
How has being a parent changed you guys?
For me, I grew up without a mom. My mom passed away. I was 4. So everything for me, because I'm just learning everything about being a mom. Like,
it's incredible watching. I'm laughing.
I knew nothing.
She like completely, there was a book that I was trying to get her to read on the front end of having the kids. It's called Toddlers Are Assholes. It was just hilarious. And she's like, no, no, no. That's awful. That's horrible. But now she gets it. Like, why are they, why won't they stop jumping? Why are they, you know, it's funny. It's amazing. But seeing her being this mom and not knowing how to do it and craving her whole life to know how the mom tricks, like she says, folding fitted sheets and things nobody thought of. And she's just watching her figure it out and doing it better than anybody I've ever seen. Yeah, she does it. And she questions, am I not a good mom? Oh, you're the mom.
You're the bomb, mom. Rose, how did that shape you, not having a mom? That's a big deal. Because now that you are a mom, like, and your love for your sons, like I have for Sonny, is so overwhelming. How did that shape you, not having a mom? Did you even know any different? Or do you remember the losing her?
That's the thing. I mean, all my memories of her are, like, in the hospital and stuff. On one hand, that's all I've ever known. It's just me and my dad. My dad and I are very close. He's also a singer-songwriter. And we had such an incredible relationship, and that really shaped me, you know, what I decided to do with my life. So yes, on one hand, it's all I've ever known. It's just me and my friend. On the other hand, I know that it affected every part of my life. And just feeling like, the, for example, when Ryder was born, there's a video of his birth, and the first thing I said when I got him was, "What do I do? What do I do?" Mm-hmm. And they just said, "You're doing it." And I'm like, that's just every day for me. Like, what do I do? What do I do? I have no idea what it's like to be a mom. You know? But here I am.
So you guys both kind of different stories, but you both had very strong pain and traumas in your childhoods. Do y'all connect over that? Like you, Rodney, you said being adopted, that shaped you so much with like feeling worthy of love, and Rose, you not having your mom. Do you think that connection of that loss has brought y'all closeness?
Absolutely, because both those things kind of make you have this, whether you realize it's driving fear of abandonment.
Yeah.
That I think that's why we both need each other.
Well, you both
definitely impact.
You both have experienced what it is like to lose, you know, to know that loss and like that real loss. Like it's not just like my therapist says there's like big T trauma and little T trauma. You know, like little T trauma is like your stuff that it affects you, but it's not like necessarily going to game change your life. The big T trauma, like it really can, it shapes your whole thought on life. And to, you know, lose parents in any way that you do, that is a huge milestone. And I feel like you guys both understand the beauty of relationships and the beauty of being a parent and the beauty of sticking together. Because once, like you said, if you've had abandonment, you know what it is like to lose. And I think that creates a love that is so real and strong because it is so sacred.
Absolutely. And we also, you know, want our kids to not have to experience the things that we experience.
Yeah. We, you know, I'm big on, you know, not trying to prepare the road ahead for my kids, but prepare my kids for the road ahead.
Yeah.
And let them know they're loved unconditionally. That's huge. And just let them, you know, figure stuff. I think it just, it's so different when you impact a kid knowing that no matter what they do, they're going to be loved. Crazy love.
Yeah.
And I can see the difference of them now being even little. I'm an older son. Because at the end of the day, they know that. They don't question.
I like to ask this question sometimes to people who've lived very interesting, wild lives like yourselves. What is the point of this life? Like, sometimes I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, this is just so many things that we're experiencing. Like, why aren't we just in heaven? Why are we going through all of this? What would you guys say the point of this life is?
That's such a good question. No, I mean, I think that I know. I think I know what it's supposed to be like, just to shape us into being more like Christ. But I don't think that's so hard. Like, I don't think I think I know that.
So I'm like, why are we even going through all this?
I do not know.
I think part of this is just every place we go, every person we meet, as we're taking this long ride home, we're supposed to leave every place and every person better than we found them. And by the end of it, we just feel more blessed than cheated. And, but it's gotta be about giving. It's what you give away.
Yeah.
Learning to just, when you're in need, give.
Give.
What you need.
That's so enlightened because it's hard to give when you feel like you're in need, but truly that is the way to be blessed.
I'm glad I'm married.
I don't have an answer. I'm just, that's what I think the biggest thing is leave every situation better. I'm not saying I do that.
You do.
I don't. But I'm saying that's, if I did that, you would feel that thing that God's trying to get in our head.
What do you guys hope your music together does for people who are lucky enough to hear it? Because it is so good, and y'all's voices together, y'all are just such a great natural blend. I mean, it was like meant to be. What do you hope your music?
I'm doing one thing. She's got like 50 tracks. She hears music. But thank you.
What do you guys hope your music does for people when they hear it?
Man, so when Rose and I started talking, we're like, okay, this is it. Can't believe this, but this is it. I said, what do you want? She said, I want what my grandparents have.
I want what my grandparents have.
70 plus years and just head over heels in love with each other. And she said, that's what I want. And that's what we strive for. And that's what we have. And hopefully the music will make other people want that with each other.
Yeah, or appreciate what they already have. And maybe if they're having, you know, a hard time thinking about quitting, that they'll decide not.
What is the secret for y'all's marriage? Because you guys really have such a strong, amazing, healthy marriage. What are some of the things that you guys prioritize within your marriage to keep it healthy?
I think we're still like working on that because our kids are so young, so we're still trying to figure out how to like date nights and stuff, like the little stuff like that. But I think we're so different on one hand. Like, we're so alike, but we're so different. And what's different is like,
wait, sorry, not Rose. What'd you say?
And I get like really down and I'll be like really negative and I'll just be like, D-I-S-S-I-N-D, spell everything out on everything. And just like everything sucks. Riley like pulls me back out. And we just are able to do that for one another. When one gets down, the other one pulls each other out. I will say Rodney's way better at that than I am. But I think we do it for each other in different ways.
Yeah, the secret is, I think the biggest thing about secrets in relationships is when you realize there ain't no damn secret. You just got to do it. You just got to live it, breathe it, own it every second. I drive her crazy. She drives me crazy.
I do?
Never.
Pull each other up. You do not kind of poke each other when the other one's down, for sure. But there ain't no secret. It ain't, nothing is easy. But it's worth it. Man, it's worth it. Good Lord, it's worth it. So you just do it over and over and over. And she's the one that I'm doing it with forever. And that's the deal. There's no going away. This is it.
That is like, I have full blown tears in my eyes right now.
Yeah. And tomorrow's our anniversary.
So how is it 8 years for y'all?
Yeah, good.
8 years y'all been married tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's crazy.
What a legacy you are creating together with your music, with your boys, with your perspective, with your voices, what you're putting out into the world. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. And I feel awesome to get to be having this conversation with you and a witness to y'all's marriage and your life, because I feel like you guys, people like you, using your talents, your voices, your love, your life to contribute such beauty to the world and be such an example of, like you said, just being in it, staying with it, choosing each other. That is what the world, that's what we need to see. We need examples of that. We need examples of how to do it and how to fight for love and stay together and it's really amazing that you guys are standing so strong as a couple and sharing your passion and your love with all of us to see. I think that is such a blessing to this world, and that is like God shining through you and you guys using your life in that powerful way. So I feel so honored to get to be in your presence.
Oh, sweet.
I'm able to choose light and to choose the hard road that is the ultimately the blessed road. But I mean, you have to, it's hard work.
Absolutely, yes. But if it is what it is, it is. You just hard is not easy to speak.
So everyone can get your new music. It's pretty much anywhere music is found. Mm-hmm. It's called Rod and Rose. You have 2 songs out. Your single, it's so pretty. It's in my head. I'm just singing it all the time. Count on me being here, being there for you. It's so infectious in your head. So your single's out, and then Christmas music is coming soon. So
song comes out. I don't know when you put the podcast out, but it's coming out Friday. So probably by the time you put it out, it'll be out. It's called Mary Had a Little Lamb. Mm-hmm.
And y'all recorded a music video for it.
We did.
The performance.
Yeah. It's a performance video. And we also recorded Winter Wonderland, and we did a video for that too. So, but we're really excited about the one that we wrote.
Mary Had a Little Lamb. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. That's so awesome. What are you guys looking forward to the most this holiday season with your boys?
Man, I mean, they're what Christmas is. It's magic. Everything is magical for them right now. So, I mean, that's the best that it ever is. And we know that. That everything is just crazy magical. I cherish everything about it, you know. It's, Rod just came upstairs a little while ago when we were talking about Santa was bringing, and we're like, get out of here, we're talking to Santa right now, and he, oh my God, and he ran out.
We're trying to figure out gifts. It's literally what we were doing before. We got on the phone for the first time. Ryder's birthday is also in December, so we have a big.
It is seeing life through the perspective of a child. We all could be so blessed and lucky to do that. It is just, it has changed my life watching life through Sunny's. And everyone says that when you become a parent, obviously all the cliche things, but it is just so true to see the innocence of life. It makes me be like, why? I try to check myself all the time and never not stand in the way of the magic, because as adults, we interfere with the blessings and the magic of life all the time because we have agendas and we have plans and we got to get this done and achieve these goals. When a kid's just living in the moment and seeing it for the beauty that it is.
Absolutely. When they're little, they have an imagination. That's everything. As they get older, we try to just fill it with facts, thinking that just takes up space. Rose is always been big on it. We need to encourage your imagination as much as possible.
So where can everyone find your music? Where's your website? Like, is it, do you have a website or is it Instagram Rod and Rose?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do is just go to Instagram.
Okay, so everyone go to Rod and Rose, check it out, and check out Mary Had a Little Lamb. Cannot wait. I'm so excited. I always wrap up my interviews with one question, which is leave your light. And it's just a really open-ended question. What do you want people to know?
Yeah, you know, for me, I've learned that that's why I don't say much. People believe a little bit of what you say, but they always remember how you make them feel. And I think that is, it carries me a lot. Like, you made us feel very blessed and special.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you're doing this because, I mean, I remember the first time I met you, actually. I met you at Red Door. You may not remember.
Oh, Red Door days, man.
And I felt like, I remember how you made me feel because you acted almost just like right now. And it's like, you're really interested in the fact that, like, I think I told you I was a singer songwriter. You actually acted like that was interesting. And you must have met thousands of singer songwriters. You're in Nashville. But I mean, that's why you're so special. And I think it's amazing that you're doing this. But I know that you didn't come here for encouragement.
Well, I feel very blessed that podcasts exist now, because I have always been so unbelievably curious about people. And I think because I've been like a very, not a lost soul, because I am very, like, I loved and I have a lot of great people around me in community, but like, I've just always felt a wandering spirit, and I've never known how to, like, I've just never understood how to be in this life. This life has always been so overwhelming to me that I've always wanted to know how other people do it, and like, what are they interested in, and what fuels them, and what makes someone else feel safe and loved and grounded and have purpose, and how do you find your passion? And I just love hearing people's dreams and what right. them. So to get to have these kind of conversations with people like you guys, and to hear what goes on in your souls and your mind and your heart and what drives you, I just feel like that's what I've always wanted to know from people that I admire. And so it's such a blessing to me to get to do this.
Yeah, and I think that's why I love listening to your podcast, and why other people are curious too. I've always been the same way. It's great. My answer to your question, I think it's just that through meeting Ronnie and our relationship and our journey, I've learned that whatever it is that you think that you want, the thought that you want, that you're not getting, or that you didn't get, God has something so much more amazing than you would have even thought to ask for.
I love that.
I really ended up with more than I would have thought to ask for, because it's more than I thought that I deserved.
Wow. And maybe you didn't even know to ask for, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I love that. So would you guys say your philosophy is kind of just to follow your passions, lean on love and God, but hold your hands open and just sort of let the Spirit guide you?
There's a lot of truth to that, but I think you have to work.
Yeah.
And understand when you're forcing something, and then you're getting a little divine, you know, push. I still think you have to work. You have to work hard.
Yeah.
Don't settle for anything just to say you had something.
Don't settle for anything just to say you had something. That's so true, isn't that? I think y'all's next project is just like a little book of like one-liners. Like, if that was a fish, I'd throw it back. I mean, I think like that needs to be coming out next. Like, one-liners of just like facts of life.
I bought Rodney. That was one of the first. When I used to try to like rack my brain over what the heck I could give him that he didn't already have. And one of the brilliant ideas I came up with was a blank book. And it was like this really fancy handmade.
It's like 10,000 pages.
Yes. No, it's 365 pages because it's supposed to be one a day. And guess what? It's still blank. And now it's in storage. That's a good idea. I thought it was a good idea too, like 5 years ago.
Okay, this is confirmation. Rose, your wife, your sweetheart, has already said this, and now I'm confirming you need to get that book and just write one a day, and then all of a sudden, you're going to have a book that you can publish that people are going to really love to read.
Cool.
You might get
that damn blank book out.
It looks huge.
It's humongous. It is.
Overwhelming. You can do it. I appreciate you guys taking the time to chat with me and sharing your music and your story. And everyone, go check out Rod and Rose. Be looking for some Christmas music. And in the meantime, go get their single, Count Me. I mean, y'all should sing it. Being Here, Being There. It's so good. Being Here, Being There. It's called Being Here, Being There. Okay. You guys are amazing. Have a great holiday season, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you
so much.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye.